live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 16 of Email Marketing Today. I'm Brent Schroyer, and with me today in the studio, as usual, is Ross Kramer and Matt Elliott. How you guys doing?
Doing just spectacular. Brent, yourself?
Doing pretty good. Ross?
We are ready for the long weekend.
That's right.
Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer is here.
Beautiful weather here for it, too.
Yeah, I hope it sticks around.
So I know, Ross, you had a topic you wanted to discuss here with something you found with moving from Eudora Outlook.
I wouldn't call it a move. I'd call it a downgrade, Brent.
And this has been, you know, for those of you out there listening, this has kind of been an internal thing here for a very long time. Almost everyone in the company has used Outlook for years now. And Ross has finally kind of moved on over from Eudora.
Yeah, I've downgraded from Outlook to Eudora, or from Eudora to Outlook, because I got a new laptop. I bought a new Dell laptop this week, which, by the way, I got one of those solid-state hard drives in the laptop.
And really?
I sure do feel bad for anybody that's making platter-based hard drives, because they are going to be out of business. I sure hope anybody that's making platter-based hard drives is investing in solid-state, because it's awesome. I mean, not only do you not hear the incessant chatter of the platters going back and forth, but the speed is just incredible.
Yeah, what would you say? Like, how much faster would you?
So I'm terrible at math.
Much faster.
I would say it's four times faster.
Wow.
I had a ThinkPad with the 7200 RPM drive. I had upgraded to the 72, so it was even faster than your traditional 5400 RPM.
Right.
Laptop, and it is a considerable amount faster. It's whisper quiet. I mean, it's like using a USB card. You know, it's absolutely the wave of the future. I know we were looking at storage area network providers earlier this year, and we were looking at EMC, and EMC, the cost for an entire rack of platter-based hard drives was the same as four of their solid state hard drives.
Man.
I mean, it was like something incredible. I don't know, 72 or 80 hard drives equaled the same cost as four solid state drives. But the speed of the four solid state drives were the same as, or I think it was maybe even double than all the platter. So the wave of the future for sure.
And how big is that drive? How much storage?
I want to say 120 gig.
Nice.
I went through the middle of the road. I didn't need 300 gig. And
nice.
The absorbent rate for that. But so yeah, that was a lot. That's cool. So anybody that's listening that needs an ultra fast drive, look out for those solid states. Is this the technology podcast?
Suddenly we're on
email marketing. Email marketing. I'm Leo LaPorte. But yeah, so I got a new laptop and I'm using Outlook. And the one thing that I found was, since I was using Eudora for like 10 years, I had literally hundreds of rules set up to process all sorts of newsletters and other stuff that I had signed up for over, past 10 years. And it would store it in the, in the rat hole storage of Eudora. And most of it I wouldn't even, look at. Some of it I would, or glance at, or whatever. But when I got onto the Outlook platform, I realized you can only have like 32K of rule storage on the Exchange server. Which is incredible, and I researched the heck out of this, and Microsoft MVPs and all say 32, at least on Exchange 2003, which is what we run. I think you get a whopping 64K if you bite the bullet and get the latest version of Exchange. So I have been unsubscribing from these newsletters at a breakneck pace, which the moral of the story for any email marketers that are listening that haven't dropped off yet. Is relevancy. I mean, we talk about that a lot, but that really hit home for me this week. The value to me of setting up a rule versus just unsubscribing, I found that it's actually quicker for me to unsubscribe than to try to configure a rule.
Go figure.
In Outlook. So perhaps that is the new measuring stick. That maybe that's our tip of the day, is if it's easier to set up to unsubscribe than it is to set up a rule to put it into, you know, newsletters folder in Outlook. You know, you got to make sure you're focusing on your relevancy.
Now, I'd be interested, Ross, since you're going through this right now, did you find anything in your unsubscribe processes, anything that was overly complex or anything interesting that you saw as far as, you know, giving you some segmentation options before you're automatically unsubscribed?
Yeah, did they let you downgrade or did they try to get you to, you know, lower your subscription?
Yeah. So one of the most frustrating things is, you know, some of you will know I started a web hosting business in my, my dorm room back at Penn State in the Eudora, the good old days of Eudora in the late 90s. So I had subscribed to a lot of newsletters with that email address, which is still active. And what just frustrates me to no end is when you go to the page and it says, enter your email address. Mm. And one of the things that Eudora did really well is it showed you the address that they emailed to, but Outlook, you got to do file preferences, look at the headers, sift through there, I don't know, terminals.
And that's going against canned spam. That's going against what is allowed.
We may need to call in the lawyer on that, because I think you can put in your email address. They don't want any other extraneous information, but maybe we got a call.
I believe it needs to be pre-filled with the latest updates.
Pre-filled.
Latest updates. Yeah.
No need to call Justin Weiss at the ESPC.
Yeah, it's actually from Justin Weiss.
No kidding. There you go. So that really frustrated me. And then half of them didn't even do any validation on it, and they just, you know, said, confirmed, you've been unsubscribed, and then, you know, 2 days later, the darn email came back again. Few asked me why I was unsubscribing. There was a few that asked me why I was unsubscribing, which is, you know, I think was a good thing to do.
Was because Outlook doesn't have enough rules? Was that an option for why you were unsubscribing?
You know, a lot of them were just, you know, stuff that I signed up for research. You know, maybe sometime down the road we'd advertise in this newsletter or something like that. I've been lurking and then it really just became, irrelevant to me. Really, preference centers, I think, were the best. I remember search engine strategies. I don't spend that much time with search these days, and I wanted to unsubscribe from that ClickZ newsletter, and it took me out to the ClickZ preference page, which I could, update my preferences there. However, like the next day, I got another search engine strategies email. So I know they have some hours to do that, so we won't hit them too hard.
It makes you wonder, you know, you've been on these lists for a long time, and there's probably a lot of them you never did anything with, no clicks, no opens, and yet you still received them over all these years. And, you know, this is actually a common problem in the newsletter industry is, you know, people sign up for stuff, forget about it, and they just kind of tune out, and the newsletters continue to come, but yet you're not doing anything with them. You know, at what point do you think that these senders of these newsletters should say, this person's disengaged and I'm wasting my time and money delivering this message?
I think email is still so cheap. You know, we talked to Dave Daniels from Forrester Research, and, you know, he talks about the fact that, you know, email still gets a disproportionate share of the marketing budget. And, you know, other people say even when done terribly bad, you know, a la spam, people still make money off of email. So you still don't have that perspective where, you know, people are really, you know, cutting their lists, so to speak. It's one of these deals where if, tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it? I don't know if anybody was speaking to me differently in those emails that I wasn't looking at. But I do know that they continue to come long since I've been, you know, looking at any of them. I do remember Email Insider, the guys from MediaPost. I don't know if they've done it this year, but I do recall, say, last year, maybe they do it every year. Maybe a bunch of people are listening and are like, they do it all the time, Ross. But I remember them saying, are you sure you want to stay on this MediaPost publication? Which is, I think, the best way to keep a really highly engaged audience. And if email cost more, and I'm not just saying that because I'm the CEO of ListTrack and it would, you know, line our coffers more, but if it cost more, people would do that more.
Sure.
I bought my dad a expensive HD camcorder for Christmas, and B&H Photos. I was like, why did I get this giant B&H Photo catalog? Oh, that's right. I spent a couple $100 with them this year. But you can bet if I didn't, I wouldn't have got the catalog. But the cost to send me an email is minuscule, so it continues.
But you have to always, the cost to the deliverability is where you can run into issues there by leaving those inactive contacts on your list.
Yeah, deliverability, brand impressions, you know, it all, I think it all adds up. It definitely all adds up. But yeah, that was my email experience. I was really experiencing email as a consumer this week, not only trying to figure out all the ins and outs of Outlook, which I've used for contacts and calendaring for years, you know, to make sure that I show up on time most times for this podcast, but not the email, not the inbox component.
Bringing it all together.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So I had a topic here that I wanted to kind of go on a bit of a rant, I guess. Matt and I, actually, we had talked about this last week, but it's just something I wanted to bring up, something that, you know, looking at some of the automated things that you can add to your message and putting some extra time and effort to customize. So specifically, I'm talking about your send a friend link, your browser link, your unsubscribe link. You know, many ESPs like us, like ListTrack, we give you the ability to easily add those things to your email message and in a really easy way, automated fashion. But the thing is, you know, it's not, if there's one thing that we know about email, it's not one size fits all. You can't have something that's going to look perfect for every message going out. So, you know, I'm just such a proponent of going in there, going into the code support, getting those links, customizing it, making it look like the rest of your message, fitting it into the creative, the rest of your creative, rather than just kind of tacking it on with the automated system. Just something I'd like to see more of. It's so often I can tell, and even if it's not one of our sends, you know, I can tell that, you know, someone has just kind of tacked that on, and it's just a, you know, it's not really even given any thought.
Well, I think that speaks to that sort of inverse proportion of the marketing budget. You know, I've seen it written a lot of times where marketers don't even know where to spend their money on email, you know, in their marketing budget. But this is surely one of those things.
Right.
You know, it's surely one of those things where you can increase your brand impression. You can increase your overall ROI of your email program by spending a little bit more time and a little bit more effort tweaking and tuning, you know, the finer points of your program.
And I've seen some really creative ways of doing that too. I mean, I've seen some really creative copy for your unsubscribe text, surprisingly. I mean, there are ways to kind of make it kind of fit with the rest of your message.
Sure. And just to play the devil's advocate, I know like a lot of the customers that I talk to that I try to get, you know, to do the customized links. It's like, who has the time? It's easier to just set it and forget it. You know, just, I have it automated. I know it's required. I know it's being put in every time. And then for like some of our customers that are agencies and whatnot, where they are creating hundreds of different pieces of content to get that built into the process, can be a little bit of a struggle for them. I mean, the value is definitely there. It's just proving out that value. I mean, it's one thing for us to say it looks a lot better, but this was one of the things that's was talked about in one of the past EEC conferences was, these are some of the items that you can test through split testing and try a different unsubscribe text or location and do some things differently with those automated links.
And so, but sometimes, you know, I think it comes down to the unmeasurable brand impression. You know, that's one of those that, you know, it's kind of hard to measure changing that text and seeing, so, you know, seeing a big difference. I think it really is, it really builds into, you know, what is so tough to measure, and that's brand. And I think, you know, and, you know, you want to make sure that you work your brand into your entire message. And that's, you know, just part of it.
And it's hard work. I recently had to go into the Verizon store to get one of those 3G USB cards because somebody whose name does not rhyme with Frent lost the darn thing on one of his trips. I'm sorry.
Wait,
Matt.
What?
Matt lost the darn 3G card, the Verizon broadband wireless card.
It fell
card.
Out of my laptop bag on Amtrak. So somewhere we have a 3G card making the trip back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between Harrisburg and New York City.
So, so bad story turned good. I'm sorry for throwing you under the bus on that.
No, that's okay.
Matt'll get me back next week. He's a little tired. We had him down in Florida yesterday. You got in at midnight last night.
Yeah, I was there Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday was meeting with some clients, and then yesterday was speaking at the Florida PR Association of Polk County, Florida. So,
and getting chased off of golf courses by alligators.
That is correct. And for the first time in my life, seeing an alligator without a tail.
Wow.
It had had some kind of run-in with a man-made implement of some sort, and it was about a 4.5-foot-long alligator without a tail. So with a tail, it would have been close to a 10-footer. It was a big alligator.
Wow.
But we
call
him
Stumpy. And now you're listening to the Nature Podcast.
So we call him Stumpy.
That's sort of the inverse of the Happy Gilmore character.
Exactly. But I did get a good piece of advice. If you're going to go try to get a picture of an alligator, make sure you bring a 9-iron or a 7-iron or something with you to fend them off in case they don't want to have their picture taken.
Classic. So anyway, I'm going into the Verizon store, and I was incredibly impressed with the branding inside that store. Not only from how all of the associates were dressed, but everything from the name badges down to the bag that they put the 3G card into, to the packaging of the 3G card, to the kiosk where I paid my bill. Everything was branded exactly the same. It was spot on. Apple does a really nice job. I think it was even better than the experience when you go into an Apple store, to be honest with you. I know the legions of the Mac faithful are rolling over and writhing right now, but it was.
But they do a fantastic job as well.
They do a really good job. And that really speaks to what you're talking about, Brent, is just completing the loop, doing the things that you should do, doing the things that you really should do, not just the things that you have to do.
Right.
That's a good point.
A couple of house cleaning items. We had a great webinar, our second in series, with Stefan Tornquist from Marketing Sherpa. This is normally the time when I would say go out to our website and download it, but due to our marketing agreement with Sherpa, we can't record those. But all is not lost. On June 3rd is our next one with Stefan, where he is going to be talking about triggered messaging.
That's right.
And this is all leading up. You know, as I said on the webinar this week, I said there's a method to our madness. This is really all leading up to our launch of our event-triggered messaging system. And when we're talking about event-triggered messaging systems, we're not just talking about a few drop-down forms and a couple of different options and the ability to send somebody a coupon on their birthday or anniversary. But we're talking about contextual triggers. We're talking about the ability to branch triggers and say, if this person clicked this link and they have this profile field set, but not this profile set, and they haven't opened a message in the past 3 weeks, then send them down this conversation.
Yeah.
But if they did this sort of thing or that sort of thing, it's an absolutely
And all on a
system.
Visual whiteboard. Yeah. So just easy to use, easy to just visually see that conversation flow.
I am counting the days until July 09. I've been telling people that that might be the day that I drop over dead. It's truly an amazing system. So really looking forward to the launch of that.
You can sign up for Stefan's next webinar out on our website. And there's also, with what we're doing with Marketing Sherpa, they can get $100 off, or anyone can get $100 off the Best Practices in Email Marketing handbook by clicking through from our site.
Yeah, jam-packed full of case studies, really, need to know, some really great ideas, opportunities and obstacles to watch out for. So some great stuff there. If you're still with us on the podcast, you obviously you really love us and want to know even more about us and want to know the backstory. The good news is we're growing. ListTrack is growing and we are moving to new digs. We've purchased a new building. We're currently in about 7,500 square feet and we've purchased a 17,000 square foot building that we're rehabbing currently, and they're painting it next week. Then we'll have carpet and furniture and phone and internet and all that other good stuff over there. So I guess we'll have to post some pictures or something.
Definitely. On the blog. It's an impressive building.
Yeah, it is.
You guys have been doing a great job bringing that together.
Yeah, so that'll allow us to grow to about 82 people. So pretty excited about that. Any other announcements, Brent?
Oh, we do have another webinar coming up on June 17th. A name known very well in the email marketing world, Mark Brownlow. It's June 17th from 1 to 2, and the name of that webinar is The Hidden Costs of Lazy Email Marketing.
Oh, boy, that could speak to your rant of the day.
That's right.
Perfect timing.
So, looking forward to that.
So, it looks like we're about at our time here today. And so, thank you all for joining us here again for the podcast. And thanks, Ross and Matt.
Of course.
See you next time.
See you, everybody. Bye-bye.